Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening of
another show. Well, the Tonys are finally over, so we can stop obsessing about them. The awards have come and gone. Productions which did not carry home trophies may soon be putting up closing notices. Those that won will get a lift, at least for a while. Now, I'm here to discuss one more time all things Tony, including the broadcast on CBS. But first, let me do my regular duty and briefly report on a show that I saw this past week. It's called Square Go, and it's just open at 59 East 59. Well, now, I've seen a lot of shows over the last few years at this venue, but I don't believe one has ever been weirder than Square Go. First, it's an hour long. Second, it features two grown men portraying a pair of 13-year-olds, I think, in Scotland. I say I think because the accents are so strong, I believe I missed at least half the dialogue. And if you are not profanity prone, this is not for you. There is rarely a sentence without the F word. That being said, this is a rather good-hearted themed show, I think. The themes of the pressure of masculinity as boys grow up and bullying are certainly worthwhile ones. And the actors are likable, energetic, and very game. Gavin, John Wright, and Daniel Portman are their names. They go back and forth between adults and childhood, I think. And occasionally they put on masks or take on other personas. Square Go, described as a Scottish schoolyard romp, is written by Kieran Hurley and Gary McNair, and it was a big hit, apparently, in Edinburgh's Fringe Festival. As for here, well, I saw at least three women walk out, which is not easy in a 50-seat venue, and yet others roared and got into the immersive stuff, of which there is much, I might add. You may be asked your name or even to join the action in various activities. Well, if that's not your cup of ale, stay away. Okay, now on to the Tonys. First, let's discuss the winners, most of whom I had predicted. Best dramatic play was The Ferryman, no real competition after To Kill a Mockingbird was snubbed. Best actor in a straight play was Bryan Cranston for Network. The man wins every time he stands on a New York stage. I love him, but I'm not sure he did better work than Jeff Daniels or Patty Considine, but so be it. Hey, he did have my favorite line of the night upon winning. Finally, an old white straight man gets a break. Network was in a limited run and has recently closed, so a Tony won't help or hurt. Though why they can't find another big name to fill the role always astounds me. Best actress, to no one's surprise, was 87-year-old Elaine May for her role as a woman losing memory in the Waverly Gallery, another play that has closed, by the way. I interviewed its author, Kenneth Lonergan, last week, who told me he'd rather have May win on Sunday than his play, which was up for Best Revival. Well, he got his wish. That award went to Boys in the Band, which also had a short run. Best Musical Performers, no surprise, Santino Fontana for Tootsie. I predicted that one the night I saw it. The well-liked Stephanie Block won for the not-so-well-liked Cher show. The big winner for the night was Hadestown. Its eight Tonys included Best New Musical, its director, Rachel Chavkin, music by Anais Mitchell, and featured actor for the much-beloved veteran André DeShields. It did not win choreography, which went, as I predicted, to Sergio Trujillo of Ain't Too Proud, nor did it win Best Book, that went to Tootsie. Still, Hadestown should have a long run, even though last year's winner in the same category, The Band's Visit, did not. Neither, by the way, did Once on This Island, which last season won for Best Revived Musical and had a disappointing run at Circle in the Square. The wildly divisive version of Oklahoma won in that category last night and is playing at the same venue. I will be very surprised if Oklahoma is still there when this year ends. Word of mouth is far more important than Tony Awards. Though Ally Stroker, who gives a gutsy, lusty performance, even though she's in a wheelchair, won for Best Featured Actress. Birdie Carvel won for Featured Actor, playing Rupert Murdoch in Ink. Celia Keenan-Bolger won for playing the young scout in To Kill a Mockingbird. No surprise. I believe that was the only award that went to that show, even though it earned 9 nominations. The oddest one of all, by the way, was its nomination, Unless I Heard Wrong, in the music category. I'm determined to go back and explore that. Another odd nominee was Choir Boy in the category of drama. The one excerpt from the production they showed last night was a musical number. Now, as for the three-hour Tony broadcast itself, well, here are a few random thoughts. Trump voters out there would likely never watch, but if they had turned over by mistake, God knows what they would have thought. There go those lefties again. Cranston says media is not the enemy. Men in dresses. African Americans pleading their cause again. Self-important performers saying things like, in a divided world, theater connects us. Ah, well, this show never gets a big rating, but for theater fans, it mostly did its job. James Corden was, as always, a delightful host, though some thought the opening number was bland. I thought, why not open with It's Too Darn Hot, the great number from Kiss Me, Kate. It was the best of the night and exemplifies what Broadway is about. Corden's few trips into the audience were funny, especially the fake sparring between Audra McDonald and Laura Linney. The number in the men's room with former Tony host was funny. In fact, it would have also been a better opening to the show. The memorial segment was poorly done. The cameras kept moving back and forth. The song was not appropriate, and how they didn't hold on the Neil Simon photo for a long moment is shocking. He was arguably the most successful playwright in Broadway history. There were nice speeches, generally. While I'm always thrilled when writers are saluted, I am not sure that having the playwrights come out and briefly discuss their work, well, worked. But you won't hear me complain on that. Rachel Chapkin pleaded beautifully for more female directors. Another woman pointed out that in films, the best years of an actress's life are between 39 and 40, but in theater, not so much. And I must say, Jill, after back-to-back awards for Andre DeShields and Elaine May, I was moved by the community's respect for experience. What do you think?
I think that that's absolutely the respect for experience. And this actually, this crosses outside Broadway really quickly. Just all across the board, there is genuine respect for experience and longevity, because a lot of people have come up, with no root system, if you will. In other words, it's all very Instagrammable moments. We can take a picture and then forget to eat the food.
Right.
And one of the things that I really, I haven't yet read other people's opinions. So this is just Jill unfiltered.
Yes.
All right, but I thought that the focus at the beginning of the show on live theater and the difference between that and screens was really well done. I don't know how it played to the Broadway community itself, but I will be willing to bet any amount of money that for anyone watching the show, they were like, yeah, this is totally cool. This is why we go to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am trying desperately to be diplomatic here, but I don't think it's just Trump voters. But in a lot of cases, just regular people are going to find there is a line of, you know, self involvement.
Yes.
And even when, I mean, obviously performers are granted a huge amount of latitude.
Right.
To be idiosyncratic.
Mm-hmm.
And that being said, I definitely come from the grandma school, which is, listen, your audience, one of the reasons that there was so much respect for the grown-up speeches, I shouldn't call them grown-ups, but the veteran speeches.
Yeah.
Is because it was very clear that they knew and know to this day where their bread is buttered. And that is the people coming to see them.
Yes.
And if you are, in thanking the people who come to see you, challenging them just for the sake of making mm-hmm. a statement to your community. It's just, it has the same sort of tenor as you go to somebody's house, who they've made you a lovely meal, and you sit there and you say, well, listen, that's very nice, but I don't eat such and such. So, right. Well, just, that's yeah. fine. It's fine. You are totally within your rights not to eat it. Does it have to be conversation is the question.
Yeah, that's a good point. And so, I think, yeah, I'm not sure about the selections from the shows that they were, ultimately the Tony Awards are about, they are about self-promotion. They're trying to get people to come to Broadway.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but how many
those made you want to pay $300 for a ticket?
And I have to say that in many cases, I wondered about that selection myself, because you have seen the shows. I have yep. not. And I can't think that, I don't know if it's even appropriate to name names, so I won't. But there was one particular show that just everybody has really been raving about. Mm-hmm. And to not see a number from that show that was rave-worthy.
I know.
But rather sort of, yeah. I didn't know whether, and perhaps this is a question that you can answer, even though it's a bit inside baseball. I didn't know who chose the numbers. I didn't know whether that was a TV thing or whether that was a show thing or whether there was some coordination. Because
it's a producer thing, because I was with the people from Hadestown when they were going through trying to decide what number they should show. They chose their opening number, which I thought was actually a pretty good idea. Because that takes you, right away you kind of get what a sense. Tootsie was a poor number chosen, even though I guess they chose it because they wanted to see, you want to see him as a man and you want to see him as a woman.
And then
the only number when he does that within one song. It's not a great song, by the way.
Right. Well, that was what I was referring to. And the thing is, it's like, then do a pastiche. Then this is, yeah. I mean, and again, speaking as an old person, this is why you have someone come in and snip it up so that the thing yeah. that you're performing on the Tonys, which is, once again, your moment to, it's a giant ad for your show.
It's free advertising. There you go.
So why wouldn't you make it like, oh, wow. It's totally memorable. Instead of saying, well, I've got this and I've got this and I've got this, so I pick the one that shows what I want to convey.
That's what I said. I thought the best number of the night was Too Darn Hot, which opens Act 2 in Kiss Me, Kate.
That's right.
A show that lost to Oklahoma for no good reason, except one is considered traditional and one is considered, imagined. But it was kind of the greatest number of the night. It's
couldn't
a great
agree more.
Show.
And
that's
it,
Broadway. That's Broadway. You're seeing a totally diverse group of dancers and singers with incredible song.
I was trying to teach one of my retrievers to tap dance.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but that was like, it makes you want to do something.
Yeah.
If nothing else, see the show or marvel at the agility and ability. That's the connect that ideally you want, not someone sitting there going, yeah, so?
I agree. When I look back over it, I thought that was that. And Hadestown, I did think was a good representation. I didn't see The Prom, I have to admit. So people thought that was a pretty cute show. That's one of the shows that I'd be curious to see how it does now, since it didn't win anything. I assume Big More Chill is going to go down quickly. Cher show was probably saved by that. We'll see now. Tony will go down. Gary. With Nathan Lane, that'll go down quickly. Some of the ones that just were shut out. But others, they'll hang on. We'll see. It's going to be a long summer for a lot of shows.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.